illustrates the impossibility of being a pastor. Don't get me wrong, I love being a pastor and I can't imagine being anything else, but there is no pastor on earth who hasn't at some point sat down and thought to himself, what the heck am I supposed to do now? I'm just, what am I supposed to do? Hey, these people, eh? Yo, this church. Apparently last Sunday was both too loud for some and too soft for others. Apparently last Sunday there was too many choruses and too many hymns, all on the same Sunday. Apparently last Sunday it was both too long and too short. Sometimes it feels impossible, and this morning illustrates to me kind of the impossibility of being a pastor. What are you supposed to preach on? At a thing like this, am I supposed to say nice things about John? Am I supposed to say nice things about you? Am I supposed to say nice things about the new guy? Am I supposed to talk about how perfect John was while he was here? What am I supposed to do? I don't know if you know this, but for the majority, well, for me anyway, when I'm grappling with what to preach on, God doesn't usually say, John, you should preach on this coming Sunday. In fact, I think for most pastors, if you hear a pastor who says that regularly, find another church. Because usually finding out what God wants you to say is much more like Jacob than like Moses. It's much more about wrestling and struggling and trying to discover than it is about seeing a burning bush every week and God telling you what to do. And so as I grappled with what I'm supposed to preach on this morning, God said to me eventually, it's about friendship. Preach on friendship. John and I have been friends since about 1985. When did you start college, John? 86, okay. So, 86 then. Hey, we're guys, we don't get dates right. God said, preach on friendship. Because John and I have been friends since then. We've been colleagues. We've worked together. We worked for the Silver Fox. It cemented our friendship. The first pastor that we both mutually worked for. We often used to say to each other, nobody works with him. You work for him. And we used to commiserate. And we've been on this incredible journey in and out of each other's lives. And so as I've been grappling with God's word a lot around friendship outside of this context, I've also been thinking a lot about friendship in terms of John. But then, of course, I have to preach the Bible because I'm a pastor and that's what sermons are about. And so as I contemplated what friendship is, inevitably, I turn to a man called Abraham. You want to know about Abraham, and I really want to encourage you to do this because there's a lot of chapters on Abraham. In fact, it's the first kind of detailed story in the Bible you get about one human being. There are lots of stories about other human beings before that, but they're all in just a couple of verses or maybe one or two chapters. Abraham gets from Genesis 12 all the way through to Genesis 25. And so go and read it sometime. But here's one of the distinguished things about Abraham. Abraham is the first person who's ever referred to as a friend of God. Abraham lived in a world where gods were feared, where gods were worshipped, where gods were sacrificed to. In fact, Abraham lived in a world that was so scary in terms of gods that one of the most popular religions around where he lived, one of the ritual sacrifices was to sacrifice your children to God. And Abraham discovered that in this world there are many, many,
to be afraid of. Like Abraham's world, our world as well. But Abraham discovered this, that in a world where there's a lot to be afraid of, God is not one of those things. Now, we should fear the Lord, the Bible tells us that often. But we don't need to be afraid of God. And there really is a big difference between fearing somebody and being afraid of them, or there can be. I do sometimes fear John a little bit. Especially when I have to preach in front of him. Because I know about his preparation. I know about his thoroughness. In fact, one of the little jealousies, I can tell you this, John is jealous of me. He is, in one thing that I know of. And that is, I can prepare a sermon much faster than he can. I've got to say that when I was a young pastor, that bothered me a lot. Yes, he used to feel so guilty about that, John. So I'm always a little bit intimidated when I'm preaching in front of John, because I know that I'm here with somebody who knows what the Bible says. But I'm not afraid of John. The difference, I don't fear him. It's not something. And Abraham understood that you must fear the Lord, but you don't have to be afraid of him. And so I want to encourage you to read those chapters. I'm going to just pick out three times in the Bible Abraham is referred to as God's friend. First time, well, the last time is in James chapter 2. James is busy explaining how faith can't just be something that exists in your brain. It has to be something that exists in your life as well. And he says this in James chapter 2, verse 22. You see that his faith, and he's talking about Abraham, and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now that's a definition of faith. Faith without deeds is dead. It's a live faith. But right there in the middle, Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. He obeyed God, and he was called God's friend. You see, that's true friendship. True friendship isn't just an acknowledgement in your brain that you're connected to a person, but there are deeds that follow on from your friendship. There are deeds. We all have those people that we know. We get that phone call. And whatever happens on the other side, you're just committed to being part of that. A couple of years ago, I got one of those phone calls from a friend of mine in Australia just to tell me that his wife had passed away. And in that instant, I knew that whatever was happening in my life, I was prepared to park if my friend needed me there, whatever of the cost. You see, and that's what the Bible says true friendship is. It is not just an intellectual decision about connecting to somebody. It is about being willing to go on a journey. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, a king by the name of Jehoshaphat is in big trouble. This is about 1,000 years after Abraham lived. And he's going to go to war. And he's talking to God and he says this, "Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" He's playing the friend card. He's playing the friend card. Hey, God, I'm connected to that oak. I need your help now. And remember, you and him were friends.
In Isaiah 41, verse 8, again, Israel is in trouble. But you, Israel, my servant, God speaks, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend.
I hope, I know that while John has been here, he has done things that have taught you to be a friend of God.
One of the tough things about being a pastor is that it's hard to model friendships into your church. Because if people think you're too friendly with that person, then why don't you like me, Pastor? The truth is you can't be friends with everybody. You can't. Not in the same way. But there's just, God gives you that gift. And I want to say two things. I'm so grateful for the gift of friendship with God. And I'm genuinely so grateful for the gift of friendship with John Lansdale. I love the fact that I can also be friends with other pastors in this church, and then I know I'm going to be friends with Duncan. That moment when you think, did I get the name right? I want to say six quick things about friendship from the life of Abraham. And if you want to know whether I'm going to preach a biblical sermon, you can ask John afterwards, or you can do the homework and go and look yourself in all of those passages of Abraham and find out whether I'm being biblical or not. First thing we learn from Abraham is this, that friendship is a journey. That it's not a momentary event. It's something that happens throughout your life. In fact, Abraham's friendship with God begins in a moment where God appears to him and says to him, Abraham, I want you to leave your father's land and go to a place I will show you. And for the next 11 chapters, we read about this journey. And journeys are sometimes amazing. And sometimes they're just hard. Sometimes John and I will phone each other and say, hey, John, this just happened. Let's have coffee. Let's talk. Sometimes we'll phone each other and go, John, this just happened. Let's have coffee. Let's talk. Because that's what life is. Life is a journey. And sometimes really hard things happen, and sometimes really wonderful things happen. Because that's life. And the journey of friendship with God is no different to that. This ridiculous notion that when we become friends of God, that suddenly we will become rich, that our problems will all go away, and that if we give enough to the church, God is going to give so much back to us that we're just going to get really rich. It's just, look at the life of Abraham. Yes, he was a wealthy, wealthy man. But boy, did his life go up and down. It was a journey. The second thing we learn about friendship, not only with other people, but friendship with God from the life of Abraham, is that friendship is a relationship, not a transaction. Friendship is a relationship, not a transaction. So often, we turn our spiritual journey, our Christianity, into a transaction. I do this, I give God this, my life, and he gives me everything. Nope. Friendships don't work like that. Sometimes there are transactions in friendships. I may be giving a secret away, but I remember helping John to buy his first decent office chair. He's laughing. Well, so what happened was I was at college and, you know, I mean, when you're at theological college, you're always poor. And generally, John and Liz were together in the church. I had a wife who was working, so like I was super rich. but I got a job writing questions for a game, a game about the Bible. I got this huge check. And my wife and I sat down and thought, hey, what are we going to do with this? And so we thought, well, there's two, we want to help two different people with this. And so we gave some money to one person, and then we gave some money to John. This is a gift. And I happen to know that he bought a nice office chair with that. But here's the other side of the story. The check bounced. Now John's feeling guilty. Genuinely, the check bounced. I didn't go back to John and say, hey, John, can you sell the chair, please? I need my money. But you see, because friendship is not a transaction. It's a relationship. It's okay. God made it up to us, I promise you. God made it up to us many times over. He did. If you go and read the story of Abraham, there's only really one time that Abraham goes to God and says, God, I need you to do something for me. Now, God gives Abraham a child. God makes these immense promises to Abraham. But there's only really one time when Abraham plays the friend card with God. It's when Lot is in trouble in Sodom and Gomorrah, and now John is sitting there going, I'm going to go and check on him. I think I'm right, John. I'm pretty sure I've done some good research. Not as good as yours would be, but I've done some. And it seems that's the only time that Abraham goes to God and says, God, now I need you to do something for me. And in fact, it's not even for him. It's for his nephew, Lot. Because friendship is a relationship, not a transaction. Friendship with God and friendship with others. Thirdly, friendship does not assume that we are perfect. Friendship does not assume that we are perfect. Abraham had epic fails. Abraham lied. He lied about his own wife to protect his measly self because he was too afraid to face up to a king who wanted to take her into his harem. That's appalling. Seriously, that is appalling. He lies and says, no, it's my sister. He's a friend of God. And he commits a sin like that. He laughs at God, him and his wife together. They laugh at God when God tells them he's going to do something for him. Our friendships are never between perfect people. Of course God is perfect. But he knows we aren't. One of the most beautiful passages in Proverbs, that passage that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Maybe most of you can criticize me after the sermon. Truth is, I won't care. Well, I will, but not a lot. But I've got some family members invested in the congregation. And I've got some of my Westville people invested in this congregation. And I've got my friend John Lansdale and Jan. And if they come back and tell me something was wrong here, I'm not going to like it. You know why? Because it's going to probably be truer. Because they are my friends. And faithful are the wounds of a friend. When your friend tells you you've done something wrong, you should listen. Really only your friends that are going to point out the blind spots in your life to you. And do you know that scientifically you all have at least 4.7 blind spots about your own self and your own personality? You can research that, John. I've got my facts straight on that one. Folks, I've loved the times where John and I have sat down and he said to me things about myself that I really need to look into. And go, yeah. Because friendship can be incredibly hard, and friends are not perfect. But number four, friendship is an everyday thing. Abraham lived in this world where gods were worshipped in these immense temples with these magnificent statues and all sorts of rituals. And if you read about Abraham, he talks about when he met God under that tree. Or when he met God by that river. And what did he do when that happened? He would just put a pile of stones there. With his own hands, he'd go into the fields and he'd pick up stones. and he'd put them there and he'd build an altar just to remind him the next time he goes past there, hey, God did something for me amazing over here. God was his friend in his everyday, not just on Sundays, not just during the hard days and the holy days, but every single day. There have been months that John and I haven't talked to each other. But we've always known we can. He's better at it than I am. We'll say, let's have coffee. And then 3 weeks later, I'll get a WhatsApp. Hey, I'm thirsty. But you see, friendship, not only with each other, but friendship with God can't be an event-based thing. Abraham's life teaches us that friendship is an everyday thing. Almost done. Friendship is hard. Abraham's life teaches us that friendship is hard. But sometimes I do just have to put down everything for my friend. And sometimes my friend has to put down everything for me. And sometimes I have to make immense sacrifices. Because that's what friendship is about. Because faith without deeds is dead. There's one last thing that we learn about friendship. And it's this. John 15. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus is speaking. And then he says this, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Like, here's the beauty of friendship and friendship with God, is that you are invited into it. This is not something that's reserved for pastors or special people. Or because of Jesus Christ, you and I can call ourselves the friends of God. I know that John has taught you that. I know that the new guy's going to teach you that too. I know that Jan teaches you that. I know that. But faith without works is dead. Friendship isn't simply about saying, what a nice person. Friendship is about a journey. Friendship is about relationship, not transaction. Friendship is about imperfection. Friendship is about every day. Friendship is very hard, but friendship is offered. God offers the gift of his friendship to you and to me. And I'm here this morning to say thank you to God for making that possible. And to say thank you to this church for once upon a time having invited my friend John Lansdale here to be your pastor, so that my life over there in Westville can be enriched and brought closer to God. And I know that many of you, that's happened to you here. And I know that's going to happen in Montague because of Liz and John. But most of all, because of a God who invites us to be his friend. Let's pray together. God, thank you that we can be friends of God. Wow. Thank you for relationship. Thank you for friendship. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who made it possible for all of us to be friends of God. And all God's people said, Amen.